Well, what we have here is just an opportunity each year to ask some questions. So we won't be able to, of course, get it to everyone, but we do want to encourage you to ask a question that's on your heart for one of the missionary families or one that they all could answer. Missionaries, one thing I'd like to ask you to keep in mind, just try to keep your responses somewhat brief so we can have time to share those and with others to respond. We have several things lined up, which, again, I think it's going to be so good. Well, I'm going to have a word of prayer here. While I'm praying, I'm going to have the missionaries come on up and find their place right up here. Mike, are we leaving this here? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to open up with a word of prayer. And missionaries, while I'm praying, you come on up to the platform. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we can gather in Jesus' name, and just so thankful for these missionaries as they come. I pray that you would give them liberty and clarity in their answers. I pray that you would help our folks ask good questions. And Lord, we just, again, want to get to know them better. We want to know your will, how we can encourage them and even partner with them in prayer and financial support. So we want to be serious about this, Lord. We really want the mind of Christ and just bless these next 10, 15 minutes of this interview with our visiting missionaries. May you be honored, may you be glorified, and may you be praised. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've done this before. Some of you are familiar. Did I take someone's mic here? Is this one? Okay. All right. It'll eventually be yours. There you go. Brother Eric will be preaching. So what I would like to do is open it up to the congregation. Maybe somebody's got a question ready. Could be for one or all the missionary families. I have asked the missionary wives to share a brief testimony here in a moment of just how God began working in their hearts regarding missions. But anybody want to start us off? Anybody want to have the honor? Becky. I'll repeat the question. Becky asked if the Hill family, are you planning on homeschooling your children there in Botswana? Yes. I think, is it the light showing? Okay.
Now it is.
Okay.
yes, ma'am, we will be homeschooling. We homeschool the kids now, and we've been homeschooling them since they've been in grade school, and we'll just continue that there in Botswana.
Amen. Good question. All right, someone else. Question for the missionaries there. I'm going to ask something. Sometimes the kids wonder, but you know the adults wonder too. I'll maybe ask you, Brother Bowman, and then because I know you guys who maybe did on your survey trips, what's the most interesting thing that you have eaten there in Kenya, brother, or on some of these missionary trips that you've been on?
Well, the most interesting thing I've eaten is grubworms from Central Africa.
Oh, wow.
And so that was that. Those are that's a delicacy.
Does it taste like a Twix or something like that? Or
no. They're better if they're fried, but mine were boiled. But that was a special delicacy. We were in the Congo, and one of our young men that was helping us all of a sudden just kind of disappeared that day.
Okay.
And we're like, okay, well, fine. And he came back later that night grinning from ear to ear, and he said, missionary, I found some. I said, really? What did you find? And he pulls back this banana leaf with all of these grubworms in it. Yes, all moving around, and I'm like, oh, you shouldn't have. The missionary I was with said, oh, wow, that's my favorite. I said, you're kidding me. And he goes, no, but they like me to say that.
Well, that's great. Now, in Rwanda and Botswana, what are some of the things that are common that you eat there? Is it just rice, and do they eat a lot of beef, or a lot of what do they eat a lot of there?
So they love chicken livers.
Oh,
in Botswana, very modernized. So we haven't come across too much of the weird foods, like my brother over here. Chicken livers. All the teenagers love chicken livers.
I heard that. That'd fit right in with some folks around here too. Yeah. What about you, Brother Scott? They're in Rwanda. What are they? Do they have a pretty common diet, or?
Well, as far as we saw when we were there, it was pretty normal. But we were with our pastor and Brother Bowman, and they've been on the field on doing trips enough, so they didn't want to be too adventurous with where we went to eat. So we ate at a lot of big restaurants where the food was safe. But as far as we know, they eat a lot of beef, a lot of Irish potatoes, sweet potatoes, sorghum, rice. So shouldn't be too bad. Now, I don't know once we get outside the city. I guess we'll find out someday.
Amen. Well, Brother Jeff, they're in Colbert. I'm sorry, I had to, brother. You can get some strange stuff over there, too, I'm sure.
On our first mission trip to Nova Scotia, you remember we had a meal at the church, and there was some sort of a pudding that
remember that.
It was very, very interesting.
Yes.
It wasn't the flavor. The flavor was nice. It was like a beef stew flavor, but the texture was like swallowing jello.
Mm.
And it was odd.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know when you go to the mission field, praying for your food takes on a whole new meaning. And that's something else. Yes, Victoria.
Because I know when you fly, every time I'm flown, they always tell you to dump it out, and I have to keep telling them at the airport that I take medication. But I know once you're there, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, so what do you guys do for a clean water source? Yeah.
Oh, everywhere in Africa, you have to use proper filtration. And so we filter our water, and we had a hand filter in our vehicle, and now, to be honest with you, now within the last several years, the filtration has really increased in a lot of the major cities there to be able to eliminate any type of pathogens. But we still, for the most part, need to be able to filter everything.
Yeah.
If I had to put a plug in for if anybody wants to come to Botswana on a missions trip, we have pure filtered water from a well from three sources of a river underneath us. So we've got pure water at Botswana.
Wow.
Well, at least at Grace Oasis. So y'all come on down.
Amen. At Grace Oasis. That's good. Rwanda, do we have bottled water there? Did you guys just use the filtered water?
Yeah, the bottled water was pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
So we didn't drink from the tap or anything, but it wasn't hard to find.
Yeah, and most missionaries, I know when we were in Niger, we would take with us the Big Berkey water filters, Katadyn, yeah, those filters were super handy. We would just put the tap water through there and kept us good most of the time. But there are times you go visit the Nationals. Again, you don't have that for the sake of Christ and the gospel. You pray over it and just hope for the best. And most of the time it works out. But can get very interesting. Well, I'd like to just, ladies, if you could take a moment and just share a brief testimony of how God began working in your heart regarding missions. And then, of course, you know, the specific call that he gave you and the field you're going to now or have been to. Ms. Lori, we'll start with you, if that's okay.
I would say I would credit my parents to really being the ones that helped me have a heart for missions. And when I grew up, we didn't have a lot when it came to material possessions. But my parents wanted me to have the opportunity to see a mission field. And so they saved their money so I could go on a missions trip. And I loved it so much, I ended up going again and then again and then again. And God just provided. And it was on one of those trips that God really spoke to my heart about being willing to surrender to that. And I felt like this is what on one of those trips, I just said to myself, I could actually see myself doing this the rest of my life.
Mm.
And so I just told the Lord, I'm willing to go if that's what you would have. So I would say just taking a missions trip. And if any of you would, I think it would be great, any of you parents or grandparents, if you could pray that the Lord would give you an opportunity to go on a mission trip with your children or your grandchildren. It's life-changing.
Amen. Thank you so much. Akemi?
If you watched my testimony last night, I was adopted out by a missionary lady when I was a baby. So missions has always been a part of my life. Growing up, I was always aware of what missionaries can do and how that can really affect your life and influence the world. So I grew up doing that, and I think kind of at a young age I wanted to be a missionary, but it wasn't until I actually took a trip to Japan and did my missionary internship over there for 6 weeks. I think it was 6 weeks. It turned into a summer, I believe. But I was over in Japan, and it was an English camp, and we were surrounded by some Japanese teenagers that just came there with the church. They wanted to know English. And there was just a piece of paper sitting on the table, and it was just a giant letter T. It was a lowercase T. So if any of us were to look at that paper, we would think, well, that's a letter T, but also we would just relate it to a cross, because we've grown up in church. We've had that privilege to hear about God, and we'd say, well, that reminds us of the cross. But the young man that was sitting at that table that day, he was sitting with the missionary as well, and he asked him about that piece of paper, and he had no clue what the cross was. He had no concept of it at all. And just to see that, knowing that I'd been raised, I had the opportunity to come to America and be raised here and grow up in church and hear God at an early age, surrounded by the Bible. But there are people all over the world that have never had that opportunity. That was just eye-opening to me, to know that God gave me that privilege to be surrounded with the gospel. But there are others around the world that have never even heard it once or have even had the opportunity. So that's really when God called me and opened my eyes to a larger world around us other than just ourselves.
Amen. Thank you so much, Akemi. Okay, Melissa?
Okay, it works. So actually, in 2023, I began to feel convicted that Scott and I were not doing enough in our church. We were faithful church members. We gave of our time, talents, and treasure. So at first I was kind of like, maybe the devil's just discouraging me. And I kind of ignored it. But the problem was, is my conviction just got worse and worse until it became really hard to read my Bible. And it became really hard for me to even be in church. And I was reading my Bible one day, and it kind of occurred to me that maybe we were being called to be missionaries, because Scott had brought it up quite a few times before that. And I asked him, and he said no. So I was like, okay, so that's it. But the conviction stayed there, and it had gotten so strong that we were involved in our church, and we were at church one day. I came down from the choir loft, and I just left church because I couldn't be in church, and it broke my heart. And so I just prayed to the Lord, and I surrendered to Him, and I told Him, like, I will serve Him anywhere, I will fill any role. But I know He didn't call just me. He also called my husband, because we're married. He brought us together for a reason. And we're going to be a great team. That's what I told the Lord. I literally told Him that. And I said, if this is real, burden my husband like you have me. And please stop burdening me, because I'll do it. And you know what, though? I had a lot of peace. And it was a kind of a funny conversation with God. But I had a lot of peace after that. And I got to go back to church. And I got to read my Bible. And I never even brought it up to Scott when, like, 2 months later, he brought it up to me. And
praise
it was
God.
Just such a blessing. And it was actually kind of another funny conversation, because he told me, as we're picking up his grandma, and he said not to tell his grandma or anyone until he talked to pastor, and he also felt called to the Congo, in which I was like, what? I need to pray about this. But God's given us a lot of peace, and He's called us to Rwanda. We have a lot of peace over that, and things have changed so much, but I'm just really grateful for the Lord, and I'm excited to see where He'll take us.
Amen. Thank you, Melissa. Vanetta?
Well, I grew up in a church that I've never heard of missionaries. Met Jeff, started going to Bluestone Baptist Church, and we sort of supported missionaries, and I didn't really know anything about it.
Amen.
But my heart broke to see the people that had no idea that God loved them. And so I don't really know how many years ago, but I have prayed for many, many years, like, Lord, I'm ready to go. But Jeff's in charge. You know, you got to convict him, because I'll go. And, you know, I would bring it up to him when we'd have missions conference. And he'd be like, well, yeah, I've kind of felt like maybe we should, but no, I don't think we can right now. And I'm like, okay. And so, you know, we just go about doing everything, you know, helping in Sunday school, children, you know, whatever we can do here. And, you know, I'm so thankful. A little over a year ago, Daniel Jenkins, our missionary in Nova Scotia, called Jeff and said, hey, I need you to come do a survey trip. And I was like, I honestly thought Jeff would be like, I don't think we can do that. You know, it's expensive to fly. And, you know, but I got on an app and found some plane tickets. And he said, book it. I was like, okay, great. So we went to Nova Scotia last October, actually, and got to see the need for a Christian camp up there that we ended up going back in June with eight of or six more of the people here. But while we were in Nova Scotia that last year in October, I asked Jeff again, do you ever think God's calling us to do this full time? And he said, yes, I think so. I'm like, okay.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What a joy. How the Holy Spirit leads, just not overnight, obviously. Gradually, the Lord presses upon hearts, and He's doing that with each of us. And I hope you understand tonight, we all agree that God's not calling every one of us to Botswana or Rwanda or wherever it might be, but God is calling every one of us to something. And that's where we follow by faith, and whether that's here in our own community, in our church, it's just letting the Holy Spirit lead us, being open to that. Sure, we can take maybe one or two more questions. Anyone else got something that's just on your heart for one of the missionaries? Yes, Joanna?
I just would like to ask, what do you view as what is or what will be your greatest challenge?
Okay, we'll start over here with Jeff, just with construction missions. What do you see as maybe one of the challenges, great challenges?
For us, I think one of the great challenges is going to be getting enough volunteers. Because for Vanetta and I to go and help with a construction project, that's just four hands. And construction is a big project, no matter where it is or what you're doing, especially if you're going someplace where they don't have power tools or something like that. So being able to coordinate and get enough volunteers to go and help is probably something that we look at as a big challenge.
Amen. All right, Brother Scott.
Well, for us, and I touched on it a little bit in our presentation, certainly the government restrictions will be the hardest for us. I don't think I mentioned it when I was up here. In order to open a church legally there, you need to have a building that meets all these requirements, but you also need 1,000 signatures from people in your community that are okay with you doing that. And so they have to basically sign their name, and the government will go through that list. They'll call those people, and they'll ask why you put your name on that list. And so just doing everything that they require will be the biggest challenge. So we are praying that either the Lord will change the hearts of the people in charge there and make it a little bit easier. But if that's not what he sees fit to do, we trust that he'll allow us to do what we need to do either way. But certainly just not being able to, you know, preach in public spaces and have home churches right away will make it more of a challenge.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. All right. Brother Nathan?
I would say culture there. Twofold on that is I could speak about Botswana. Being there and being with Mike and Cindy Haley, one of the biggest challenges is that the Botswana, they look at the white man as they worship, you know, so to speak. They everything we say and everything we do, they agree with. So when you go out and do your Bible distributions and when you try to win people to the Lord, they don't want to disappoint the white man, so they're going to say yes. So now you're at that challenge. Do I write this up as a conversion, or do we got to build those relationships?
Yes.
We got to bring them into the church and disciple and see how we can go that route. So one of those biggest challenges is making sure that they make those decisions based on their burden and their convictions, not because the white man is there to tell them this is the right thing to do. And also some of the staff that will be there with us with the cultural challenge is they want the white man to tell them everything to do specific. I'll tell them to go get a shop back because we got to clean up this mess. Well, since I didn't tell them to bring the extension cord, they don't bring the extension cord. So you got to tell them to get the extension cord. It's like making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's more than just putting peanut butter and jelly on bread. You got to get the bread. You got to get the knife. You got to tell them step by step.
Yeah, so I could see how that could be a challenge, especially like you mentioned, the gospel ministry. You could probably go out and get a bunch of people to pray with you, to pray for salvation, but do they really mean it? Yeah, so, yeah, I could certainly see how that could be a challenge. Brother Eric, just as a director of a really great missions agency, what are some of your challenges right now, or one of your greatest, as far as your position in ministry?
Preaching in American churches.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Africa.
Yeah. it's just Africa still in your heart.
Very much so. Very much so. And I think it's... the greatest challenge is bringing an awareness to everyone and realizing that you are the voice for a lot of people that don't have a chance.
Mm. Amen.
You know, we're all excited about the second coming of Christ. But you realize most of the world hasn't heard about the first yet.
Mm.
And so it's the constant pressure of being that voice.
Yes. Well, we certainly know better, even with these precious families, how to pray for them and their challenges coming up and what they're experiencing even now. And, of course, one of the most obvious that we have known about this conference, a challenge, is these three missionaries here are just starting out on deputation. And so they're just getting started, just have a few churches supporting them right now. And these are some days of definitely walking by faith, which deputation does teach you a lot about that. So pray for them. And, of course, we want to be an encouragement to them as a church. We take up a love offering for them and send them away encouraged that way. But they will be going on to the next church. And they're living by faith and trusting God to provide their needs. They are just looking to the Lord for direction. But we just want to thank you as a church. I speak for all of our church. We love you. Thank you for surrendering to the Lord. Thank you for just being, like you said, I think all of you have said it. We're no different than any of us. We're just seeking to serve the Lord where God's calling us. But we thank God for you. And haven't they been a blessing, church? Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen.